Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and praise the Lord, and welcome to episode 1398. Of Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host, Arthenius Jackson, coming to you live from the great city of Florence, South Carolina, with One Touch Transformation. And I am so excited that you have decided to join in on such a wonderful, well, terrific Tuesday. Wherever you're listening, I would like to thank you for tuning in, whether you're calling or whether you're listening online. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate you so much. And you know, because you didn't have to do it, you didn't have to take time out of your busy schedule, but because you decided to, we appreciate that. Again, my name is Arthenius Jackson, and I'm with One Touch Transformation, where our mission is to educate the community about sexual abuse while encouraging and empowering all victims and survivors. And so the whole mission is dedicated to spreading awareness, of course, and also educating people who, you know, may or may not know about abuse that is still happening, whether they want to admit it or not. But, you know, it's been a topic that's been swept under the rug for years and years and generations, but it is time to have the conversation. It is time to lift up the rug and talk about it, because we know it's been happening and it's still happening. And there are so many people who are still dealing with the pain of past abuse, whether it was from their childhood experiences or even as an adult. And what makes it even worse is when it happens in the family. And so we're all about breaking that curse, having that conversation, breaking the cycles so that people can finally be healed and set free and delivered. I mean, because there's nothing like having freedom, true freedom, the only freedom that only comes from God, the healing that comes from God. And on top of that, you can add in a little therapy and counseling, because there's nothing wrong with it, a little Jesus and therapy. I'm a witness to that, because I can talk about how I've survived childhood sexual abuse, how I've had Jesus in my life, and how I've also had some therapy in my life. So I'm here to tell you, like, I am all for therapy, and I'm also all for Jesus. So there's nothing wrong with mixing the two or putting the two together. It makes a great combination when you're trying to find your healing and your freedom and your deliverance. And if God can do it for me, he can do it for you or for anyone who has experienced childhood sexual abuse or whatever the traumatic experience may have been. Whatever you have been through in life, if it has caused you to, you know, stray away from Jesus or question your faith or even just become someone that you don't want to be, I'm here to let you know that you do not have to allow your past to dictate who you are or who God has destined you to be, because God has so much in store for you. He wants to use your story for his glory. He wants to use your story for someone who needs to hear it. There is someone out there who needs to hear your story, even if it's just one person. But God has someone that needs to hear you. And so do not be afraid to speak up. You are not alone. And know that there is help out there. I mean, there are several resources online. There are several resources where you can call the hotline. And even if you don't want to speak over the phone, you can just simply chat online. And that is through the Sexual Assault Hotline, which is 1-800-656-4673. 1-800-656-4673. Write that number down. Send it to someone that you may think need it or you know someone needs it. Let them know that it is okay to reach out for help. There are even resources for our male survivors, because we know this isn't just a female thing. It's a people thing. It happens to both males and females. It doesn't matter the gender. It doesn't matter the race. It doesn't matter the nationality. It doesn't matter your social economic status. It happens, or it can happen, to anyone. And so a really great male resource would be the website 1in6.org. That's the number 1in6.org. All right, and I'll be sure to get those resources out again at the end just in case you missed it. But we just want to thank you for joining in for another episode with One Touch Transformation. And tonight we're going to talk about opportunities versus opposition. So opportunities versus opposition. So I think we can all agree that life brings us both opportunities and opposition. But it's up to us where we devote our attention or how our perspective is. It depends on what your perspective is, and your perspective may not be the same as the next person, and the next person may not have the same perspective as you. And so it all boils down to, what are you going to devote your attention to? Will it be the opportunities, or will it be the oppositions? Will you focus mainly on your opportunities, or will you focus mainly on the oppositions that lie ahead? We should all get to a place where we do focus on the opportunities and not just the oppositions. Because as a matter of fact, I feel that the oppositions we face are what present some of the best opportunities. I mean, just think about it. Sometimes we hit this roadblock, and we see the roadblock in front of us. I mean, we see it. But we figure out a way to still get across the street or get to the next place despite the roadblock being in the way. And so if it weren't for the roadblock, then we will never use what we have or use what God gives us in order to still get through, you know, crossing the street or going to the next intersection, whatever it may be. And, you know, I'm talking figuratively, but whatever your roadblock may be. I mean, we encountered numerous roadblocks in life, and you probably can think of some that you've already encountered. And when you face, yeah, when you first face that roadblock, maybe you were wondering or trying to figure out how you were going to make it to the other side, not knowing that God already knew that you would make it to the other side. He's just waiting for you to see what you're going to do. Are you going to allow this roadblock to keep you from moving ahead, or are you going to allow this roadblock to stay where you are or turn around? But no, God already knows what he's doing when he takes us through these different avenues or down these different roads, these dirt roads, paved roads, bumpy roads, whatever the road may be. He knows what he's doing with our lives. He knows where he's taking us. He knows where we're going. He knows what roadblocks we're going to encounter. He knows the oppositions that we will face. And like I said, I feel like a lot of the oppositions that we do face is what presents some of the best opportunities. And when you think about it, isn't that what being creative is all about? Whenever you're trying to figure out, okay, what can I do in order to get from point A to point B? Or what can I do differently so I won't end up back at this roadblock? But for me, the biggest opposition that I faced in my life, of course, was being a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. But believe it or not, it presented one of the best opportunities of my life, and that was birthing my nonprofit organization, One Touch Transformation. And the reason why I say it's one of the biggest oppositions, because there are so many effects that come along with sexual abuse. And, you know, I was looking at this website the other day, even while I was preparing for this, I was looking at a website, and it listed maybe, I want to say close to 9 effects for a child who has experienced, you know, sexual abuse. And, you know, I was doing like a mental evaluation for myself. And, you know, right where I was, right then sitting at the desk, I almost got teary-eyed because all I can do was thank God that I didn't experience all of those effects that were listed. I mean, and I'm not bragging, I'm not boasting, I'm not saying that everything was perfect and everything was all good, because I did and still do experience some of those effects. But those 9 different effects that were listed, I still praise God and I thank God and I'm grateful that I did not experience those effects that were listed, because some are more severe than the others. I will say that. And I have met others who have had more severe effects than I have. And so, again, I was sitting there reading those things on that list, and, you know, tears just filled my eyes. I didn't fully cry, but, you know, I just sat there, and I couldn't help but thank God. And, you know, it may sound a little weird, or it may sound a little, you know, people may not understand. I'll just say that. People may not understand, you know, when I say what I say, when I say this, God allowed me to experience the abuse. And, you know, and I don't blame him for allowing it to happen, but he did allow me to experience. And with the oppositions that come with experiencing sexual abuse, I could have allowed those oppositions to take me elsewhere. I could have allowed those oppositions to fully break me, and I would not have had my nonprofit organization. I would not have had the courage to share my story. And look how many people I would have prevented from sharing their story. Which is why I always tell people it is important to share your story. Your story matters. Even if family and friends do not agree with you sharing it, look, that is your story. That is your testimony. Own your testimony. Own your story, because God brought you through it. And he gave you a testimony to share for someone else to hear it, even if it's just one person. And guess what? You do not even have to share it on a huge platform. It doesn't matter how big the audience is or how small the audience is, because God has someone prepared to hear your story and someone who needs it. So do not allow those oppositions, even from sexual abuse, to stop you from sharing your story. And oppositions, they come in all kind of faces, all shapes, all forms. It could be the effects that come along with it, or maybe it could be family, maybe it can be friends who just don't want you to share your story. They don't understand. When God has brought you through hurt, when he has brought you through pain and has finally freed you, look, do not allow anyone to stop you from sharing your story. That is your way to healing. That is your way to true freedom. That is your way to true deliverance. And God has given you that story, that testimony, and no one else can take that away from you. So although being a survivor, it came with so many effects that was caused by my childhood trauma, I did not focus solely on the abuse or the effects. That was one thing I did not want to do when it came to my organization. I didn't want to just talk about the hurt, the pain, because I felt that's just half of it. The other half of it is the healing. Being able to talk about it, being able to share the story. There's more to the pain. There's more to my past. Yes, I'm going to tell you how I was hurt and how I was traumatized and the effects that came along with it, but I'm also going to tell you how I was able to find healing and how I was able to find freedom to talk about it. So ultimately, I knew my voice could help others, and that's what I've been doing since 2014. So let me insert this side note from those who may not think how huge of a deal it really is. For those who may not experience sexual abuse or may not have experienced sexual abuse or thought you may, you know, have felt any of the effects, let me tell you that everyone is affected indirectly. And this is why sexual abuse is a public health problem. It's not just a Black problem, Black community problem, White community problem. It's not just a religious community problem or faith-based community problem, but it is a public health problem. And it concerns everyone, because when a child is abused, it affects the family and friends of the victim, which ultimately affects the society, which is why it is a public health problem. And then childhood sexual abuse can affect a person's adulthood and affect their marriages and then affect parenthood. So it's like the whole trickle effect. So this means that everyone can play a part or has an opportunity to help in some form of advocacy and awareness, education, and even talking about the healing part of it. So although many people may want to remain silent or continue to sweep the topic under the rug, we all have an opportunity to speak up for victims, for our society, for every boy, every girl who may be experiencing abuse, for that woman, for that man who has not been able to overcome, who has not been able to speak up, who is still blaming themselves, who still feels alone. We all have a have an opportunity as a community, as a people, and even as a king, as the kingdom of God. We have an opportunity to help our sisters and brothers, those who are believers and still hurting from the pain of the past. We have an opportunity to speak up for our brothers and our sisters and for those children who are still hurting day after day. So we have to take advantage of this opportunity to change what they call, you know, race culture. It's allowing it to happen and blaming the victim for it happening. We've got to change that. As the people of God, we have to change that. But I must say one scripture that I have always found consolation in, even while I was going through my journey of healing, it was 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So this comforts me, and it also lets me know that even though I have endured pain and endured suffering and all of the effects that comes along with sexual abuse, even the things that you've gone through, maybe it has not been sexual abuse, but maybe you have gone through some hard times. You've experienced pain. Every one of us has and will experience pain and hard times, heartbreaks, heartaches, sicknesses, whatever it is. But we can find comfort in the scripture saying, but most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. It rests upon us. So even though we face these oppositions, even though we face these obstacles in whatever area of our life, we cannot let that stop us from working and wherever God has us. Because it's his strength that keeps us. It's his grace that keeps us. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So even in our most vulnerable times, in our times of weakness, in our times of trouble, guess what? His strength is still made perfect, even when we feel weak and feel like we can't go on or feel like we can't get the job done. Guess what? His strength is made perfect. So even though in my flesh I am weak, but in the spirit I am strong. In my flesh, tired of fighting, I'm tired of dealing with this over and over, but with the spirit, I am strong. So no matter what obstacle, what opposition we face, God has given us the gift. And with those gifts, he has given us the skills, the tools, the direction. And his Holy Spirit will direct us along our journey. We cannot allow anyone, anything, any obstacle, any opposition to stop us. Because that's what the enemy wants us to do. The enemy wants us to stop. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Like whatever the plan God has for us, and you know when God has given you or shown you what he has for you to do, oh, you know the enemy, he's going to play his part, and he's going to play it well. He's going to send any and everything to stop you from carrying out the will of God. Because he does not want you to succeed. He wants that blow, that roadblock. He wants that opposition to stop you, to hinder you, and to keep you from working. But we cannot allow the enemy to stop us from working. And, you know, and I also believe that, you know, God, he sets up some of our roadblocks. But a lot of times, the devil, he's going to set up some roadblocks. Or maybe we even get in the way of our own self and set up our own roadblocks. But whatever the case, either way, we cannot allow any of them to keep us from working, to stop us from working. We must find a way to keep working. He tells us to occupy until he comes. So that means you have to keep working through the storm, through the rain, whatever tries to hinder you, whatever tries to get in the way or stop you, keep you from going. I'm telling you, do not give up. Do not give up. Do not allow that opposition to stop you. Focus on the opportunity. goes, okay, Lord, I see this opposition. What am I going to do? Let's create an opportunity. What can you do that would still, you know, bring God's glory and still follow his, you know, his commandments? What can you do to create an opportunity while this opposition is facing you? Sometimes you have to wait it out. Sometimes you have to figure a way to go around. You know, God will direct you. His Holy Spirit will direct you anytime you face opposition. And believe it or not, you will know most of the time when you are about to face an opposition or whenever one, whenever you're approaching. It's almost like you're riding down the road and you can see from afar off that something is in the middle of the road or there's a roadblock, you know? And so the Holy Spirit, it will lead you and guide you and let you know when something is approaching or when the enemy is approaching, because we cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices. We cannot. We have to, you know, always make sure that we are listening to the voice of God. And when you have that relationship with him, he will allow you to know when, you know, Satan is on your track. I mean, Satan's always going to be after us. But the Holy Spirit will let you know when, you know, a roadblock is approaching or an opposition is on the way. But again, we cannot allow anyone, anything, any obstacle, or any opposition to stop us. All right, so let's read Nehemiah chapter 2. Let's go to the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse number 1. So Nehemiah chapter 2, verses number 1. And I'm reading the version NIV. It says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, how long will your journey take, and when will you be back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah? And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. So as we look at these 10 verses, Nehemiah telling us about how he, you know, was feeling a little down, a little sad about, you know, his family's land, you know, to see it up in ruins. And, you know, it brought a sadness upon him. And the king noticed it because, you know, he's been with the king and he said he's never been sad before. And I know you're not sick, so what's going on? So Nehemiah lets him know why he's sad. And he wants to go to his ancestors' city and the land and want to rebuild it. And so one thing that stuck out to me was verse, let's go back up. This is in verse 4. The king asked Nehemiah, what did he want? And before Nehemiah even told the king what he wanted, he said, I prayed to the God of heaven, and then he answered the king. So this lets us know that Nehemiah, he had that relationship with God. He had it with him because he wanted to consult God before he even gave the king an answer. And so it is demonstrated verses later, because he consulted God, look at the favor that was upon his life. The king was able to give him what he needs. He made sure that he was going to have the letter that he needed to give to Asaph, that he was going to able to have the wood that he needed. And then when he sent them off, he had an army and cavalry. So that lets us know God was with him this entire time, even through this little process right here. And, you know, God is with us the same way, even before we approach any project, before we approach whatever the calling that you're walking in, wherever God is taking you, whatever the purpose he has on your life, wherever you are, God is with you. And that's why it's so important to acknowledge him in all of our ways. It is important to consult him. It is important to allow God to direct us. And sometimes we are so guilty of making a move before talking to God. We'll make the move and then talk to God later, and then we run into our opposition. And we wonder why. And I'm guilty of it. We're all human. So a lot of times we want what we want when we want it. And so what we'll do, we'll make a move based off of our feelings or our flesh, based off of what's going to make us feel good, or based off of, you know, selfish reasons, because I want it and I want it now, so I'm going to make that move. And so after we make that move, we run into this roadblock where we face this opposition, and then we have to say, all right, God, I need you for this. But sometimes we may be able to avoid certain oppositions, not all of them, but we may be able to avoid certain oppositions if only we will talk to God first, consult him first. God, is this what you want me to do? Or God, give me the words to say. Direct me. Direct my thoughts. Direct my words. Direct my actions. Direct my moves. Is this for me? Is this what you want for me? Is this part of your will? Is this a part of my purpose? And so Nehemiah, he demonstrates how he talked with God first, and then he answered the king. And then in verse 8, says further down, and because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. The favor of God was on Nehemiah. He consulted God before he answered the king, and look what happened. The king granted his request, and the king was able to send him off protected with everything that he needs. And God would do the same thing for us. When we learn to consult him first, put him first, he will protect us, and he will give us everything that we need. Every single thing. He has already given us the tools, the skills, the resources, everything that we need to do whatever it is he has called us to do, to carry out the will, to fulfill your purpose. So all he needs you to do is just consult him. All right, so let's move on over to the sixth chapter. So Nehemiah chapter 6. And we're going to start at the first verse again. All right, so when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gate, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But look at this. Nehemiah spotted this already. He said, but they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? So Nehemiah was able to spot what was coming on. He knew this opposition that lied ahead. He already knew that they were scheming. All because he's doing a great thing. He's trying to rebuild. And here comes Sanballat. Spies, Geshem, they start trying to start trouble. trying to go against what he's doing. And that's what the enemy does. He sends people to try to confuse us, try to scheme against what we're doing. Well, we know we're doing what God has directed us to do. He will send people, he will send things to come up against you. But like I said, we'll spot them head on just like Nehemiah did. We'll know when the opposition's lying ahead. Verse 4, he says, four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Nehemiah was not moving. He was not moving. He was not going to allow them to push him out of the way of what he was doing. He already made a decision. It was solid. He was not going anywhere. It says, then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message. So when the enemy can't get to you, they try something else. So Sanballat sent his aide with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written. Listen at this. It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king. So come, let us meet together. Isn't that something? Now here Nehemiah had already talked with the king. The king already knew what he was doing. And so now we hear Sanballat, he's sending someone else, sending his aide, to send him the same message. And then he's going to send him a letter saying, oh, we hear that you're trying to come against us. We hear that you're the enemy. See how cunning the enemy can be, or at least try to be? Sometimes the enemy will try you just to see if they can, you know, push you over. But Nehemiah said, I sent him this reply, a verse, saying, nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. So the enemy is looking for us to become weak. But with the strength of God, remember, he tells us, even in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. So even when it feels like you're going to get weak, guess what? God will strengthen you at the right time. At the right time. And then he says, but I pray, now strengthen my hand. Strengthen my hand. Sometimes we have to ask God to strengthen us. When we feel like we are becoming so weak that we can't do the work, or too vulnerable that we can't go on, we have to pray to God and ask him to strengthen us. When those oppositions begin to come at us left and right, we have to pray to God and ask him to strengthen us. And he says, one day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Medabel, who was shutting all his home. He said, let us meet in the house of God inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you. But I said, should a man like me run away, or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. Nehemiah said, I am not afraid. I am not running away from this. No, God has allowed me to do this. This is what God has spoken me to do. I'm carrying out this will. I am doing this work. I am not backing down. I am not coming down solo with these people when all they're trying to do is come against us. They're scheming. They're trying to trick us. I'm not falling for it. And sometimes we have to talk to the enemy like that. Not today, devil. Oh, not today, Satan. You will not get me. I am not stopping. I am not turning around. I am not coming down. The Lord will strengthen me. So he said, but should a man like me run away? No. Should someone? I'm not going to run to the temple just to hide from them. No, because I already know that God is protecting me. When he left with an army and a cavalry, so he knew that he was protected. So he's like, I have no reason to hide. I have no reason to fear. None of us, we have no reason to fear any opposition. It cannot overtake us. Whenever we are covered, when we are covered by God, nothing can stop us. Nothing can overtake us. As long as we are, you know, hiding in the shadow of the Almighty, we have no reason to fear. He said, I will not go. The 12th verse says, I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He knew it was the work of the enemy. He knew it was the work of Tobiah and Sanballat. 13th verse says, he had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. How many times have people tried to do this? Just trying you to make you slip. They will push you to try you just to see if you will slip, just to see if you will get out of character. Oppositions come at us trying to make us get out of character, but we got to say, not today, Satan. Not today, Satan. I will not allow you to make me get out of credit, get out of character so that you can discredit my name or ruin my reputation to have people say, oh, I thought she was this. Oh, I thought she was a Christian. No, sir. No, ma'am. Not today, Satan. The 14th verse says, remember Tobiah and Sanballat, my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophet Noadiah and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me. And people will try to intimidate you just to make you slip or just to see you slip so they can laugh at you and discredit you and discredit your name. So don't be fooled. The opposition, sometimes they are people. They're not just physical roadblocks, but sometimes the opposition, they are people. And they can be some of the closest people to you. That's how the enemy works. He uses people who know you. He uses people who are supposed to love you just to see what you're going to do. Oh, I'm going to see how long she lasts. Oh, I'm going to see how long she says she's a Christian or she's a believer. Oh, I'm going to see how long she does this. Oh, she's ministering now? Oh, let me see how long she does that. People will do and say things like that. The enemy will use anyone. He does not care. He has one job to do. One job to do. And that's to take it away from God, from his presence, whether it's his presence, his spirit. That's all he set out to do. He doesn't care anything about your soul. He doesn't care anything about what you do for God. Which is why we have to stay so close to God. We have to make sure our relationship is, you know, tight, as we say with our, you know, with our favorite people, with our best friends. We got to stay tight with God. We have to make sure we're putting him first. He is the center, that we are consulting him so that we can always stay covered. And we'll be just like Nehemiah. We won't have to hide. We won't have to back down. Say, what? No, not when I know what God has put inside of me. I am not running away. No, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you feel about what I'm doing. If I'm doing this for God, it does not matter how you feel. It does not matter what you say, because, look, I'm doing this for God. This has nothing to do with you. Verse 15 says, so the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul, so about 3 months. He completed the wall in about 3 months. Amazing. It's amazing what we all can do with God on our side. People will not understand it. They will be confused. But look, it's not for them to understand. It's not for anyone to understand the work that God has inside of you. It's not for anyone to understand that. It's for God's glory. So verse 16, it says, when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. God will do some of the most amazing things that even your enemies would be so shocked that they won't be able to say anything. They won't understand it. That's how amazing God is. There are different things that, you know, God puts inside of us, and the things that he put inside of you compared to, you know, someone else, you may be able to do it like it's not anything. And people are just so confused trying to figure out, how did she do it? Don't worry about how she did it. It was God. It was God. And what I like about or love about God and how he allows us to have these different gifts, everyone's gift is so different, which is why we should never get to the place where we're comparing our gifts, because my gift is not like yours and your gift is not like mine. Just love it and appreciate it because it's a gift from God. And no one can take that away from you. Because God put that gift inside of you. The same way that he equipped Nehemiah, the same way that he had favor on him, the same way that he protected him, the same way he had a relationship with him, we can be the same way. The same way. Philippians 1 and 6 says, God began a good work in you. And Paul said, I am persuaded, or I am confident, that he will continue it until it is finished or completed or perfected when Jesus Christ comes. So God put a great work in Nehemiah. And he was able to perform it, to complete it in 52 days. And it shocked his enemy. So the work that God has placed inside of you, no matter what you face, no matter what your oppositions are, you are still able to complete that work. So don't worry about the opposition. They're going to come. Do know that. Oppositions will come. You can't escape them. Can't avoid them. But oppositions, they will come on every level. The higher you go, they're still going to be there. You can't run away from them. So mentally, spiritually, prepare to face the oppositions of life, knowing that the work God has placed inside of you, that he will perform, he will complete it. But just remember, keep him first. Consult him. And he will protect you. The favor of God will rest upon you, and he will supply you with everything that you need. He said, my God shall supply all my needs. So whatever you need to complete the work that God has placed inside of you, he will supply it, whatever you need, even while facing opposition. Nehemiah faced this opposition, or these oppositions, with this enemy. But he never backed down. He never stopped. He said, I've got to complete this work. I've got to finish this work. And that's the same mentality we have to take on. I have to keep doing what God has called me to do. Because if I stop, then that's another soul that might be lost. So we can't stop doing the work that God has called us to do, no matter how hard it gets. Whenever you get a little weak, ask God for strength. Nehemiah said he prayed that God would strengthen his hands for whatever your work is, whatever it requires. Pray that God strengthens it, strengthen you in that area. And I'm a believer that God will strengthen all of us. Even if you are feeling weak right now, God is strengthening you right now in the name of Jesus. He is strengthening you. Whoever needs to be strengthened this moment, he is strengthening you. His strength is perfect in our weaknesses. Whatever area of life you are weak, God will strengthen you in that area. He will strengthen you. Whatever opposition you are facing right now, whether it's on your job, whether it's with your family, whether it's with your parents, your children, whoever it may be, your friends, whatever the opposition may be, I am pleading that you don't back down. I am pleading, I am begging that you don't back down. Do not allow the enemy to intimidate you. Do not allow the enemy to intimidate you that you can't make it. Because you can. Many of us will face opposition. There's no escape from it. And maybe your prayer life, your relationship with God, maybe it's weak. Maybe the oppositions have caused you to stray away from God. Maybe your oppositions have called you to pray less. But tonight, we can turn that around. We can pray for the strength of God. God's strength will help you tonight. We're going to pray tonight that he strengthens whoever is weak right now. We're going to pray that God strengthens your relationship with you and him. He's still right here. He's still right there. He's never left. Even when we walk away, even when we begin to walk away, when we begin to slip away, God is still standing there with open arms. And if you begin to walk away from him, God is saying, look, I'm still here. Don't back down from me. I've given you everything that you need that is inside of you. And maybe if you're listening, you may not know God or have that relationship with him at all. But tonight, you can make the decision to start fresh, a clean slate. All he asks us to do is to repent of all of our wrongdoings. We all have sinned and fallen short to the glory of God. We have all sinned. And all we have to do is believe that he sent his son Jesus to die for all of us. He sent his son Jesus to die for you so that we might be free and have everlasting life with him. He is just. And he is able to forgive and cleanse us from all of our sins and all of our unrighteousness. So tonight, we're going to pray for those who are seeking God, seeking to know him, seeking to invite him into your life. Tonight, maybe your night. So make that decision. Just open up your heart and just believe and receive him. We come before you, and first we just want to tell you thank you. God, we are grateful for how you've kept us thus far. God, with so much going on, God, we can still tell you thank you. God, we thank you for life. We thank you for a sound mind. God, we thank you for your joy. We thank you for your peace and the strength that only comes from you. And God, we pray that you will forgive us of all of our sins. Everything that we may have said or done wrong, any evil thought, any sin known or unknown, God, we pray and ask for your forgiveness. God created us a clean heart and a right spirit. God, we ask that you wash us. We ask that you purge us through and through. God, we pray that you even renew our minds. Transform our hearts and transform our minds so that we're able to receive all of you. God, restore the joy of your salvation. God, we ask that you just have your way in the name of Jesus in our lives. God, direct our thoughts, direct our words, direct our actions. God, help us to lay down our cross and follow you. God, help us to submit to your will and submit to your ways. Because, God, we know that your ways are better. God, we know that your thoughts are not like our thoughts. Our ways are not like your ways. So, God, help us to seek after you, do your will, to follow after you. God, we receive you. We receive you. And we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Even right now, God. Even right now, God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your strength. God, those who are weak right now, God, I pray that you strengthen in the name of Jesus. God, send your word in the name of Jesus, although I may not be able to go, but your word can go. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is healing. There is strength in the name of Jesus. So, God, I speak strength tonight. I speak healing. I speak saving and deliverance in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for those who are listening. God meets every need. I pray for the entire Purpose Kingdom staff and every host. God, continue to strengthen us as we minister from night to night. Continue to give us the words to say. Help us to continue to spread the gospel. And God, I pray for those who are sick tonight, those who are stricken with the virus. God, I pray that you send your healing power in the name of Jesus, those who are in the hospital, those who are in their homes, those who are in the nursing homes, those who are incarcerated. God, I pray that you send your word in the name of Jesus and your healing power. God, I believe that there is nothing too hard for you. God, I pray for everyone who is carrying out a work. Even though we may face opposition, God, give us the strength as you gave to Nehemiah. Help us to stay strong and not to back down. Help us to always consult you first. Help us, oh God, that we may pray to you every time we feel weak, that you may strengthen us. God, we praise you, and we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 At this time, we're going to receive our announcements for Purpose Kingdom Network.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Enjoy tonight's episode of One Touch Transformation. We just thank you so much, Minister Jackson, for tonight's word. And real quickly, this is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network, and I'm going to go ahead and do the announcements. If you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can contact us here via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. And we thank those listeners that share with their friends and family members and let us know that we are on here at www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And you can also call in at our phone number, which is 319-527-6091. And anytime you want to talk to our host, you can just press the number 1. And moving forward, we're also on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Anytime you want to hear any of our previous broadcasts, or going to the archives and listen to tonight's show, and you listen to it, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can simply type in the host name or the show name. You can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we also, once again, thanks to those that share with your friends and family members. Our upcoming show tomorrow, which is going to be at the 9 p.m. hour with God's Will and God's Blessing, is going to be Daughters of Ruth. And that's going to be hosted by Reverend Maureen Lee. And once again, at the 9 p.m. hour with God's Will and God's Blessing, we're going to have Daughters of Ruth, and it's going to be hosted by Reverend Maureen Lee. And we thank each and every one of you, no matter where in the world you're listening to us, for supporting us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We just thank you so much, and we appreciate your listenership, your support, and also the sharing with your friends and family members. With that being said, that's going to be the end of the announcements, and I'm going to turn everything back over to Minister Jackson.
All righty. Thank you for those announcements, Brother Rob. All right, so I'm going to close us out, but before I do, I would like to let you know how you can learn more about One Touch Transformation. It is a nonprofit organization, 501c3. We've been established since 2014, as I stated in the beginning. We are an organization, and our mission is to raise awareness by educating the community and by also encouraging and empowering all victims and survivors of sexual abuse. Some of the things that we have ongoing right now is our Butterfly Effect Mentoring Program. So due to COVID, we've not been able to meet one-on-one, but what we are doing, we are having special Monday night sessions, and it's the program, you know, is primarily for girls ages 6 to 15, but with our sessions on Monday night, we've been opening them up to mothers and daughters. And so we do have an upcoming session this coming Monday, February the 15th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will discuss love and self-care. We were so honored to have a therapist, a licensed therapist, a couple of Monday nights ago as we discussed mental health, and we talked about various things, even with the pandemic, and that was with Ms. Dominika Stuckey. And so she touched on a lot of points that was extremely helpful. And like I said, this is open to both mothers and daughters, and we were just excited to have, you know, mothers and daughters watching through Zoom. And so anyone who is interested on being a part of the session, maybe if you just want to listen on with your daughter, and if you're a young girl listening, you can tell your mom about it. You can go to our Facebook page. So the One Touch Transformation has a page, but then there's also a page for the Butterfly Effect Mentoring Program. And if you RSVP to the event, you will receive the link that Monday afternoon. And so that's this coming Monday, February the 15th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will discuss love and self-care. And we will be, continue to announce the upcoming sessions because it's like every two Mondays. And so we're excited that we're able to still keep the program going because we were a little disappointed when we had to stop due to COVID. But, you know, God has put a work in me, so I cannot back down. I cannot stop. We have to find a way to get around it. So we were able to still create an opportunity to help these young girls and also help mothers. So, again, you can follow us on Facebook under One Touch Transformation. You can visit our website at onett.me. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @onett. And also the Butterfly Effect Mentoring Program on Facebook and on Instagram as well. So, again, if you're interested in One Touch Transformation or the Butterfly Effect Mentoring Program, you can find both on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about me, I am busy, but in a good way, working with a purpose and working intentionally to make an impact. So my website is arthenius.com, and you'll be able to see a few of the projects that I am doing. Some things are on pause right now due to a career change. I was testifying earlier before we got on that God had blessed me with a new job even during this pandemic. And so I am excited that God is still blessing, even though with opposition going on, He is still blessing. God is still with us. And so, again, you can visit my website at arthenius.com and follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at ArtheniusJ. And I do want to get those helplines out again, what I talked about, in case you know someone who may be in need of some resources or some service. You can give them the Sexual Assault Hotline, which is 1-800-656-4673. Again, that's 1-800-656-4673. And for male resources, 1in6.org. That's the number 1in6.org. And another great resource is Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network, which is an acronym for RAIN. Well, RAIN, and they are also another great resource. And so their website is RAIN.org. And the cool thing about RAIN, if you're looking for a rape crisis center near you, if you put in your zip code, it will bring up all of the nearest rape crisis centers. So that's RAIN.org, RAINN.org. So please share those resources with family, friends, anyone that you think may need it, even if you just happen to post it. You know, it's okay that you can, that's, you know, people may not realize how huge of a deal that is, but it really is huge when you share these resources. And for organizations and other nonprofits who are, you know, heavy on advocacy and educating and also the healing aspect of it, when you share the things that they post, you never know who that's going to help. So if you do begin to follow us on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, feel free to retweet or reshare some of the, or share the things that we post. You never know how much it is helping someone who needs to see that post, because we know we can't reach everyone. But if you know someone and that person knows someone, it all goes, it goes a long way. So, again, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I hope that something that was said has blessed you and will carry you over for tomorrow or even for the rest of the week. But I pray that God continues to strengthen all of you and bless you in every area of your life. So remember that oppositions will come, but with the help of God and with the strength of God, you will make it. So I hope you have a wonderful night, and remember that God loves you. Good night.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. I will not lose. Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.